Today we take a trip into Paul Solar's student-centered classroom. He's the author of Learn Like a Pirate, and this is episode 73.
The 10-Minute Teacher Podcast with Vicki Davis. Every weekday, you'll learn powerful, practical ways to be a more remarkable teacher today.
It's wonderful Wednesday, and we're traveling into a wonderful classroom, fifth grade classroom of Paul Solar's, where he's been teaching since 1999 in Illinois. He's also author of the amazing book, Learn Like a Pirate. So, Paul, tell us something that makes your classroom so wonderful.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me on. The thing I advocate the most for, I think, is just a student-centered classroom where kids have leadership opportunities, you know, that they can make decisions throughout their day, collaboration being a big key, all that kind of goes together. But my big focus is trying to give kids the power to make decisions freely and think for themselves rather than always rely on the adult in the room to try to tell them what to think, how to think, what to do, that sort of thing. So my kids at this point of the year, we're in April, they're kind of leading the show. You know, I had a substitute for part of the morning this morning and, you know, the kids did everything. So that's the goal, you know?
Okay. So you say they're leading the show. In what ways do they lead the show in your fifth grade classroom?
I have the schedule put up on the board. You know, I keep my kids all day long. So, you know, they get in at 9:05 or 8:55 or so. They turn on the morning announcements. We do video announcements. They take attendance. They make sure everybody's checked in so that the attendance is accurate. They get out the supplies that we need. If we start with the computer cart, they go and get the computer cart. And it's all through symbols and color coding on the schedule that tells them what to do and when to do it. They make those decisions because they know what to look for. We've set up rituals and routines that they know how to follow. We have assigned jobs in our classroom where kids are in charge of things, but yet nobody is responsible for their own job only. Anybody can do anyone's job. It's just the person's job to make sure that it gets done. So if someone else has already done it, they're set. If it hasn't been done, they either have to ask someone to do it or do it themselves. So typically whoever sees the schedule first starts making the decisions, switches off every day, who does it. It's not decided by me, you know, and then as the day goes on, they see that we're coming close to a transition time. They'll do a give me five, which is our call out for getting everyone's attention. When they say, give me five, give me five, we all have to stop what we're doing, listen, including me. If I'm in a conversation with an adult, I typically will stop unless it's something that I can't really stop. We'll all listen for the announcement and we'll all make the decision to transition or whatever it is that we need to do. And this is done throughout the day. And then we end the day with what we call Rearjamickle, which is it's an acronym for our end of the day routine, which involves going over what we did for the day, you know, maybe writing down if we have any homework or classwork that wasn't finished, evaluating our day. We actually set a whole class goal for ourselves for the next day to follow. We evaluate how the day went according to old goals that we've either struggled with or old goals that are recent that we want to focus on. And they do that all by themselves around a big center table that they all gather around together. It looks like a big committee that works on their own. And I don't have an actual role during this other than to give feedback and observe. So that's kind of what I do is I just sit back and if I have something to say, I raise my hand and I contribute. But otherwise, they take care of everything. And they're at the stage of the year where they're so confident in their jobs that they're asking, who would like to learn this job today? I'll sit next to you and you can be the evaluator. You can be the recapper. And the other person will run it with the aid of the person whose job it actually is.
Oh, Paul, it's so overwhelming because it's like, how long did it take you to get your students to this point?
You know, so I get asked that a lot. It's definitely a continuum. You know, I see some really great progress after about the second week, which sounds crazy early. It is, you know, but after about 2 weeks, my kids kind of get an idea of what's going on. And then the whole year is definitely, you know, you see some peaks and valleys. And, you know, one of our goals this year was not to revert after like a Christmas break, winter break, spring break kind of thing. Because, you know, sometimes we'll have a tendency to go away for 2 weeks and forget everything we know.
Yep.
So just make that work. We talk a lot about that, right? But you have those peaks and valleys. And I'm telling you, I think right after spring break was where I said, wow, okay, this is it for this year. I don't have to come to school again this year other than to teach content. You know, that's pretty much my only purpose at this point, because even the feedback is kind of limited. I don't have that much I need to tell them.
So what is your role?
Well, my role really is always to participate, observe, discuss, give feedback. I know my kids really well at this point, and so the things that I haven't been able to get to them about, that just little things throughout the year that I probably needed to work on with them, I'm starting to work on better now because I have so much more time available in my day. You know, for example, today, you know, one of my kiddos wrote a goal on the board, and it's one of those homonyms that he's been spelling wrong all year. So I said, all right, let's work on that homonym, work on the things that they've done incorrectly that I haven't gotten to because it wasn't a priority, and make it a priority.
So, Paul, for example, what does a student-led math lesson look like?
All right. So I always like to point out a point of clarification for everybody is that my room is not necessarily student-led in that my students are constantly standing in front of the entire class teaching a content area lesson. That's not typically the way things work. I usually still give any kind of content instruction that needs to be done. However, my students are very good at teaching mini lessons, and mini lessons are more like technology issues or procedural issues or tips and tricks that they've discovered for something that we're working on, maybe good websites that they can use or something like that. So typically math might look more traditional than some other subjects, but at the same time, I still think that it's actually fairly unique in that we walk into class, my students divide up into basically two groups. They get working on some independent practice, and I work with one-on-one with kids who are sitting in line working on their independent practice, waiting for me. And I give them feedback on the work that they finished the previous day, either in class or at home, whatever we had. And then I'll teach a lesson after I get through all the students, and I'll partner them up, and they'll work together on the actual activities where I walk around and give feedback. They may not be able to move on to the next activity without checking in with me. I'll let them know what they're having trouble with, reteach anything that I need, sometimes pull the whole group back together and then move on from there. So it's somewhat unique, but somewhat traditional looking as well.
Okay, so what's the most non-traditional subject, and what does that look like?
That's a good question. Yeah, like science and social studies is definitely where my students will shine the most as far as taking leadership roles on. However, any point in the day whenever we're transitioning, or any point in the day when, you know, if the phone rings, they answer it. If a person walks in, they welcome them, things like that. But science and social studies, you know, my kids, I typically will partner them up, get them working collaboratively, I'll give them the directions on the activity by posting it on the website, projecting it in class, going through each step, saying this is what you need to accomplish. They usually have some sort of hands-on component. Even it's not usually research-based, but it involves looking things up occasionally to clarify. But usually, like, maybe they do an experiment or maybe they build something. Then they take pictures or videos. They put it on their e-portfolio, and I have some reflection questions put for them. I put it onto our blog. Each kid has their own e-portfolio, and they upload everything there. It kind of takes them through a process of learning with discovery, with reflection for deeper understanding. And then I give them feedback based on their final reflections and their videos and their photos that they've created. And then they may have to revise, you know, the day later or a week later, even sometimes even longer than that. But that's our typical routine. Kids will just at any point in time get up and do give me fives. They'll be walking around and saying, you guys, I just discovered this. Or if anybody wants to come over to the corner, I'm going to teach a quick mini lesson on how to upload this with an embed code or whatever. You know, they'll do that spontaneously on their own. If they don't do it on their own, they might ask me a question and I might say, hey, why don't you do that as a give me five and offer that to others? And that's the gist of how we do it throughout the year.
Oh, there's so much we can learn. And you can see why Paul had to write a book. It's Learn Like a Pirate. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? I need to reread this book because I think I work way too hard. It's not the time of year when I go, wow, they don't need me anymore. I wish it was, though. I wish it was. Paul, let me just ask you one more question, though, as we finish. What's the hardest thing about teaching this way?
That's a really good question. I think people would think that my answer would be something like getting, you know, parents and administrators to accept it, but that's not the case. They've all, you know, looked at me as though it's a strange, different way, and they have some skepticism, but they all find out by the end of the year how well it works. They're pretty proud of it. So I really don't know that there's anything that's that hard. It's just, I know that I have to keep up on the feedback, and I have more time to give feedback, but I have a tendency to fill that time with creating more lessons that are more engaging. You know, it's a vicious spiral where I, yeah. you know, I use that time like I probably should to just be giving feedback to kids like I should. I often use it to build even bigger things. So I think getting to kids in a timely manner with feedback is always my challenge. And I think I do a good job of it. I just know I could do a way better job if I just focused a little bit more.
I know, because it's like, you know, the fun is in the lessons and the teaching, and the feedback is just so, I mean, it's not that it's horrible. It's just that it's just not as exciting because we're not face to face with the kids necessarily, you know?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Okay. So the book is Learn Like a Pirate. Paul has agreed to let us.
Thank you for listening to the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast. You can download the show notes and see the archive at coolcatteacher.com/podcast. Never stop learning.